Welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am your host, Crow, and with me on this episode is Thaxos.
Hello.
And Frost.
Hello.
All right, so to start off this month's episode, we have a little bit of Mercs news. One of the newest additions to the website, if you go up to the top menu bar there, you'll see the collectibles database, which is actually, I believe, like, Sean, who actually put that together? Whose project was that?
That was my concept, but it was definitely my talented tech team that actually put it together. That was a lot of hard work between Hikari and Jang. So those guys were crushing it on that one. And they're actually about halfway through version 2, which will be coming at some point to be determined. We've got, so the current version just gives you a lovely list of all the different coins and all the different patches that are currently in existence or have been made in the past. And we've added forum links to those that are currently purchasable to the best of our knowledge. Now, people that want to get theirs on there, if you don't see yours there, there is a quick FAQ on the top of each one of those. So it explains what exactly the coin database is or the patch database is. And it links to a form that you can fill out to submit new entries. On the next version, we're actually going to have the functionality where we can track. We can track based on the user. Have you collected one of those? Are you wanting, you know, do you have it? Do you not have it? So you can actually track which ones you have in your personal collection. So that's going to be really cool. Don't have an exact time, as I said, but because, Nick and Chris are hard at work on a variety of things, not just this. And it's all volunteer, right? Like most, like everybody else, like the podcast team, like the art team, the tech team, the app team, the archivist team, the supply team, all of the various teams were always a huge collection of volunteers. So sometimes timelines will get shifted around a little bit just because of the workload or how people end up getting busy. But we are definitely working towards and looking forward to having that second iteration for you guys to enjoy. But definitely check it out if you are wanting to collect coins and patches. We have the store or forum link provided on those. You can see what's currently available at the very least. Yeah,
that's the another cool thing for. I know that patch trading, coin trading has always been such a huge thing. So that way is a good way to figure out which coins and or patches you've missed over the years.
We've tried to get just about everything.
Yeah, since that came out, I've actually had a couple people ask about the Wampa patches that we had up there, because we had one run that ended up sort of being a limited run.
Typo? The inverted colors?
Yeah, that had inverted colors, and we actually lucked out quite hard on that. Like, we sent in a patch run to one of the patch makers that the Mercs uses pretty frequently. This was back when Arden Fisk was the quartermaster, so she in particular had a great relationship with this patch vendor. And we sent out our patch. They sent us back a bunch that had the wrong blue, and blacks and whites were inverted. And we were like, these are cool, but they're not what we ordered. So they just sent us a new order gratis, just like with the correct everything. They just sent it right over to us within a week. And as a result, there were two super rare patches, one of which was never going to be ever created again, and people have been mm-hmm. asking me if they can find another one of those, but
sadly, the answer is no.
Like, those are pretty much all mounted to flags or patch jackets, and they're not going anywhere.
Is that the wrong color one?
Well, either or at this point, but especially the wrong color one.
Yeah, I wanted one of those wrong color ones, and then you guys said, no, they're just for the clan, because they're mistakes. And I was like, ah, no, my collection is now incomplete. No.
There's always thwarted.
Well, you do know that you could always see if you can get one of them to leave it to you in their will.
Ian?
No, I'm going to live forever. Sorry.
Well, the other issue there is, of course, that I was insinuating that you would then be killed for your patch.
Well, I mean, it's possible. I do have some cool patches. I still have my personal pride, aside from those, the off-color Wampa patch, is the and the ones that my wife designed, are the green skull, not skull, but the green helmet patch that used to be the official patch years ago.
Version 1 or version 2, because there's two versions of those, as you can see in the database.
I'm assuming version 1, but we have, it's the one that we did the 10-year red tribute of, that
yeah,
we sold
yeah.
at Celebration.
Well, we did we did several red tributes.
Well, yeah, no, this, yes, but it's that little
the helmet, though, yeah.
Yeah. That one's my personal fave. I think I got that in a trade off Mareel.
I'm just looking here, and actually I didn't realize we have 20 pages of so there's 10 entries per page. We have 20 pages of patches.
Yep.
There are 193 entries currently on the coin side. There's 39
like
entries,
three or four.
So we have a solid collection's worth. Yeah, I took as many photos as I could. I went through my patch box. There were quite a few. Anything with the gray background that looks like EVA foam? Well, it is EVA foam. Those are my photos. It was a good patterned background and plain, and it photographed well. So if you see those are all the photos submitted by me from my own collection. So if you have an extra one of those one of the ones that doesn't have my background, I probably don't have it, and I would like to have one. But
and he will buy it for you, or from you. For $2 million.
Or just trade.
Whatever.
I'll trade for something.
$70.
Yeah. I
he will trade you currency for your patch.
Yeah, well, maybe. Actually, my clan is finally putting out a patch run soon. So.
Oh really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You have a clan now.
What? He says.
Let me do the math.
8 years too late as of next week.
I mean, whatever,
let's just.
Man.
I've had a clan since basically when I got official, so I don't know where you've been.
North Carolina.
Yeah, but there was nobody in your clan for a long time except you.
I don't know what you're talking about. Actually, there have definitely been the minimum number of clan people, the five count when it was back a while ago, and then the seven count nowadays. It's always been enough to be a clan. We've never been a squad.
I believe in you. This is my believing face. Look at it.
You can't see it, but it's there.
But I will trust that it is totally sincere.
And so the next bit of Merc's news also has to do with merch. We did release our very first set of laser merchandise.
Yeah.
Laser.
Merchandise.
Oh, wow.
You
had some laser distortion.
Wow. That was awesome.
You had some excellent distortion there. Please keep that in the official podcast.
Yes, Rom, keep that in.
As you wish.
Jeez,
that was awesome. yeah, now we have, it's a set of keychains, or a keychain at this point.
Yes, so currently it is a one keychain, but we are working on several different helmet styles that will also be engraved in a similar manner on a similar sized red acrylic keychain.
When are we going to have like laser sculpted helmets?
Never.
Anyway. We might have 3D printed
at least what way, Ian?
Or at least like faceplates.
You mean like the image on a keychain?
No, like
Like a full sized actual helmet.
Well, like a full sized like faceplate for a helmet anyway.
Faceplates aren't flat. Laser cuts flat things, so not likely.
I mean, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, there are restrictions on laser materials that you can that are actually safe to laser.
Well, you can laser anything. You just better have a
no. No. So for anyone that happens to have access to a laser or end up playing around with laser someday, do not put Sintra on there.
Yes, well, don't put
anything PVC.
Yeah, or
the C means chlorine.
For that
Yeah. But basically, any of the chemical plastics that have the wonderful chlorine in it, you will create chlorine gas, which if you go back in history, you will realize it's horrible for human consumption. And it also is just, you know, corrosive in general, so it'll ruin the laser as well.
The laser will laser the thing. The question is, will you survive with your home pocket laser?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. So don't do the thing unless you're a pedant like me.
Just don't do the thing at all.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't do the thing.
Yeah. But in a more serious note, we are going to have a couple different helmet styles, so that'll be kind of cool on the laser etched red acrylic keychain. And then coming soon, we're just working. We're finishing up the final iteration of our tree ornament for the wonderful winter holidays. So those will be coming out pretty soon. We've got the design down pat. We're just figuring out the exact size, tweaking a couple bits of detailing, and then. And then figuring out what sort of hanging attachment we want to utilize. Probably a ribbon of some sort, but I think we might go with like a jump ring to go through the actual ornament, and then the ribbon can tie into that, because if you've ever had ornaments that you just tie a ribbon through, they tend to hang the wrong orientation to face outwards from the tree.
They always hang sideways, yeah.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're making sure that ours are not going to hang wonky sideways, but they'll actually display nicely in your... And then we've got more stuff in the new year as well, so we're working on it. And anyone that's about to pester me about name badges, we will get those pretty soon. They're very, very shortly coming up, so those will be returning new fancy design. You'll have to wait and see.
So fancy.
Oh, it's so fancy.
So fancy. All right, can the tree ornaments,
nothing
can they
be fancier?
Can they be like 10 inches like in diameter?
Not quite that large, but they're definitely not going to be small little things.
So, like, 9 inches.
What we should do is we should just make ones that are sized based off of last year's Dragon Con badge every year.
I don't know how to respond to that. In terms of diameter, if you are familiar with the old ornaments, I believe the wooden one that we did the first year was 3.5 inches, maybe 3 inches in diameter.
Yeah,
we're definitely going to be larger than that. We're aiming for... probably at least 4 inches, maybe 5. We got to have to do a couple prototype runs still, just to see how the detail comes out on that size. I believe the first prototype we did was 5 inches on the height. It's actually slightly taller than it is wide for the attachment point and everything. But they're going to be a nice, good size.
Yeah, I want to say, yeah, I'm trying to remember, because I have a couple of those wood ornaments. And yeah, I think they're like 3, 3.5. They're good size.
I'm fairly certain they're smaller than the 4-inch.
The 4-inch patches, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are smaller than that.
But these new ornaments are going to be real nice. And we're going to have them up in November for sure. First half of November is the goal. First week of November would be amazing. We'll see what happens. I've got Comic... as of recording this, it's the 26th. I've got Comic-Con this weekend. So it's going to be a little hectic. But we shall see. Do we have any other Mercs news? I don't think so.
I don't believe so. I do know that the Verdica Corps, I don't have any specific news, but I know that there's some activity going on there. I believe there will be a Verdica Corps Facebook presence relatively soon.
No, we've had a Facebook for quite a while on Verdica
Corps. Oh, maybe we do. But that's due to be overhauled at the very least.
No, what you're thinking of is the Verdica Corps website's about to get an overhaul.
No, I was talking about Facebook.
Oh, is the Facebook getting an overhaul too?
Yeah, it'll be, I see, because I should know this as the social media guy. I do know that right now it is, if we do have a Verdica Corps Facebook, it is not super active. That is due to change.
Yes.
We are going to be working on that pretty hard. In addition, we are securing the services of a new, is it Sergeant, I believe the term is basically the trainer.
Yes, or training like sergeant.
Training sergeant for the Mythosaur Brigade, I believe, is the name. The older
Mythosaur Battalion.
Battalion. There we go. The older Verdica Corps members, the folks who are closest to actually becoming 18 and, you know, aging into the Mercs, as it were.
Yes, the Mythosaur Battalion ranges from ages 13 through 17. That should be happening in around the first part of November as well. But again, you know, like I mentioned with the other stuff, volunteers, volunteer hours, sometimes deadlines pop up, but we're definitely going to have a launch on the new site soon, and we're definitely going to have more activity on the Facebook soon.
Yep.
Damn.
There's a lot of stuff happening soon.
Soon is good. Soon is not never, so.
That's true.
Let's see, but I believe that's all the Mercs news I have.
I think that's all I've got as well, yeah.
Alright, so, on to Star Wars news. So, the one of the big things that happened this past month, actually within the past couple weeks, was they did finally give us the actual title for the upcoming Han Solo feature. It is, like, just as the internet sort of predicted, it is just Solo, a Star Wars story.
Ho, ho.
They set the bar so low with that title.
Get out. yeah, no, they went with, I mean, it's a pretty solid title. I mean, it really says what's in the tin, you know. But, yep. I mean, it's
Keep
good
it
that
simple.
they finally came out and did it. They are keeping the anthology title series by calling it, you know, blank, a Star Wars story. What they started with Rogue One, they're going to just, that's the angle they've picked, and they're sticking with it.
Still hoping for Obi-Wan.
Yeah, no, we're still hoping for Obi-Wan. An Obi-Wan movie would be great, especially if they do get Ewan McGregor. I mean, age-appropriate, great actor. Why not? More lasers.
he's looking a little bit better than Alec Guinness did, though.
Well, yeah, because Alec Guinness was still... How old was Alec Guinness when he made Star Wars? He was an old man.
He wasn't that old.
Not that old, but he was... Well, I mean, Alec Guinness always looked like an old man.
He did always look like an old man.
Yeah, let's see, he was born in 1914, so he was in his 60s when the first Star Wars was made.
Yeah, he's 63.
Yeah. So, and Ewan McGregor is not 60 yet, so, you know, it's... Depending on when they put it, it's you know, still time appropriate, still age appropriate.
Yeah, well, and Obi-Wan is only like 50 odd when he dies, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, still got time.
Because he's what, 18, 31 BBY?
That I don't remember, actually.
Well, because it's 21 is the Clone Wars film, and then 19 is Revenge of the Sith. So, yeah, it should be 31 because it was 10 years before, as we have to, you know, revisit basic facts of canon.
What can you do?
Oh, there is, they have been floating around a few pictures of Donald Glover as Lando. As they well should. And he looks good. Not a real surprise, but he looks good in that cape.
I'm just surprised that Lando has worn that cape for 20 years. Well, I feel like Lando would be on top of the latest fashions.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I wonder if Lando, with all of his smooth exterior,
have you
actually
seen how
like...
many people wear capes in Star Wars? That is the latest fashion. They've hit peak fashion.
You know, that's actually
not wrong.
Biggs Darklighter is a cape wearer.
Yeah, most of the
Krennic
is a cape wearer.
Yeah, most of the Rebel Council in Rogue One, they were all caped up.
Jedi's all have cape.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say Bail is a cape wearer.
Oh yeah,
Darth Vader's a cape wearer.
Huge cape wearer.
So really, what they need to do is retitle the series to Star Capes.
Star Capes.
Yeah, Stark. You know, that's probably true.
No, that's true. That's when everybody.
The Royal Guards are cape wearers, and Keir Kanos is a badass. So
whenever anyone comes into their own as a character, that's when they're wearing a cape.
That that minor character Vader, he's got a cape.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know what? Luke Skywalker in the new film has a cape.
Well, he got a cape in Jedi.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
true. Yep. He did have a cape in Jedi.
And that's the basis of my theory. Like, that's where the first time we're like, oh, Luke's really a Jedi. It's because he's got a cape.
It's true. They also have that one deleted scene.
Which one?
The one where he assembles his lightsaber, where he's wearing the cape and it's over his face.
Yeah, but like that's what I'm saying. Get a cape.
Boba Fett's got a half cape.
Boba Fett does have a half cape. Does that make him half cool?
He just wanted to be half as stylish and twice as functional.
You know, that's fair. That is actually fair.
Yeah, no, that's a legit strategy.
Boba Fett, legit strategist.
Yep. Yeah, that's it for the Han Solo. Oh yeah, the episode 8 trailer. It's really cool. It's really good. Thaxo should watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna just have them message me when they're done talking about that part because I don't want spoilers.
It's neat.
Headphones off. You guys chat. I'll be back.
Anyway, what Thaxo is afraid to hear is that it's pretty neat.
It is neat. I mean, because let's be honest. His definition of spoilers is pretty broad. We're really not going to say a whole lot. It's not that spoilery, really.
Yeah. Ultimately, what you can take away from the new film, what you can take away from the trailer is that, first of all, they're trying to get us amped up for some kind of plot twist.
Which,
to me, this says there isn't going to be a plot twist.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm almost certain there isn't going to be a plot twist. There's not going to be anything super fancy or special. People are now all over the media being like, is everyone switching sides? The answer is no. The answer is no. Go watch the movie and find out. I almost guarantee you that's not how it's going to work, because this is Star Wars and that's not how that works.
Because, yeah, I'm trying to think, like, most of the stuff that we're all, like, theorizing, we know it's something about it is going to happen, but we don't know how. Like for me, big case in point, Leia. We know that that story is going to come to a close somewhere, we just don't know when.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing with Rey. Rey's going to be a Jedi at some point. Whether Luke does
Jedi-ish.
She does it herself, like, you know.
That's
like,
whether or not they right.
Yeah.
Right.
Poe's going to fly somewhere. He's going to fly a thing at some point.
And Finn wakes up. As if we didn't know that was going to happen.
I think their plot twist is just going to be like Finn's going to wake up and he's not going to be all like sweaty and ejected from a tie this time. I think he's just going to like actually just be like, oh hey, I'm awake now. Where are all of my friends? Everyone's gone. Everyone left.
Help! Well, chances are, once they, he's going to be on Princess Leia's ship, and they're going to blow it up because they have to resolve Carrie Fisher's story arc.
Yep.
Then he's going to like wake up last second. Rey's going to reach out to him and be like, "Finn, don't die."
And then he won't.
And then he won't.
I do hope Finn doesn't die. That's a good character.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain Finn won't die, but you know.
And you always worry. I mean, I don't worry that much about this, but, you know.
Of all the things in the world that could actually happen, Finn dying is extremely low on the list.
Yeah, I don't really think that's going to happen, but just deep in the back of my mind, because, yeah, they are trying to ramp us up for some kind of big old plot twist. It does make you wonder, does make you worry. I think I'm happiest about First Order walkers. Like, they show those off. And I think that's what the weird, like, red smoke trailing things are supposed to be fighting. The toys call them, like, ski speeders or something like that. I'm interested to just see how that works. Like, as a machine flying across the screen.
Oh, yeah, with, like, the little tent pole on the ground?
Yeah. And, like, I'm just confused because in all the science of Star Wars, why is it necessary for there to be a stick? Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of like pod racers, though. Like, pod racers, why is it necessary for them to have some kind of crazy energy barrier thing in the middle? I don't know. It's cool looking.
Mostly, yeah. Instead of, well, a tent pole.
That's fair.
I do remember, yeah, when back in episode 1, the one pod racer that actually, like, made sense to me, it was the one that was actually backwards. That had the, it was all one unit, it kind of looked like a Y-Wing, had the cockpit in the front, and the engines just mounted to it behind it. Like, yeah, that one. That one's not going to fly apart at any time during this film. And it didn't.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I used to know who that was, too, because I used to fly that one in episode one Racer, because it was substantially more durable.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah. Though, to be fair... it does technically make sense to have them loose if you're going over weird terrain and you have weird hovery engine type things like they seem to.
Yeah, no, it's not absolutely out of the question, but it's still just like, but why wouldn't they all do this? When apparently that one is the exception to the rule. We're going to get A-Wings back.
These are the things that nerds discuss.
Yeah. Yeah, they showed us more A-Wings again for just like a bare split second.
Which is kind of good, actually, because the A-Wing was supposedly the most advanced fighter that the Alliance had. So,
Yeah, but then they put it back into Rebels.
They did.
But yeah, see, I was happy to see it in Rebels too. So.
Yeah, well, they're just trying to explain where all that crap came from.
Yeah.
It also, I do like how in Rogue One, like they've kind of seamlessly meshed Rogue One and Rebels.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that moment for them to officially, like tie those two together. Like we were saying on the last episode of the podcast, I really want to see just how close they're gonna butt up.
It is absolutely direct.
I would love that. I would love it to be just that close. Just be like, all right, last shot of Rebels. Everybody get on the Ghost. We're gonna go to this place called Scarif.
You know, that's one of those things. Like, I want to know what they do to Ezra.
Yeah, I am. I am honestly curious.
Because they have to off Ezra and Kanan, but Hera is still alive when they go to Scarif.
Yeah.
So, I guarantee you, since Darth Vader apparently knows about these people, if they showed up, he would know.
Well, yeah, that's why he tries to just ram his Star Destroyer into the fleet. Which is still... There's so many good things about Rogue One that is still probably my favorite shot.
It is easily the most badass that Darth Vader's been in a long time. And I'm not even talking about, like, the whole... Everybody's talking about where Darth Vader is Jason. Which, that's also pretty cool.
Well, yes.
Darth Vader being like, no, you see this Star Destroyer I have here? Yeah. It's going to be in your ships now, because I have 250 Golan batteries. Like, it's one of those things where the Star Destroyers outmatch the Rebel fleet. One Star Destroyer outmatches that entire Rebel fleet.
Yeah.
But because the commanders are bad, and they get stupid positioning and all of this other stuff... And then they let something from KOTOR kill them.
Yeah. by literally just pushing it out of the way.
Yeah. And they don't even turn on their engines.
Well, the ship got disabled, which, you know, okay, ion bombs are a thing. Like, clearly the only thing that that stops Star Destroyers is ion weaponry, as the Star Wars universe keeps pushing at us.
Well, that and A-Wings.
That and A-Wings. Two guaranteed things to stop a Star Destroyer. Any kind of ion weapon.
A-Wings and asteroids.
Yeah. One of my... I never fly them as a pilot, but one of my favorite things in the X-Wing minis game is the guy who rams into the Executor's bridge is an A-Wing pilot.
I'm sure.
No, he is. And his ability, normally in that game, if your ship is bumped up against another ship, you can't shoot at him. Just a... You know, game balance. You can't ram into a guy and just go guns blazing while you're smacking into him.
But that dude can.
He can. So yeah, he'll run into you and then just pew 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 pew. It's the only time that trick ever works.
Yep.
Trying to think of what else was in that trailer. Porgs. Everybody still hates porgs, and they're just gonna keep throwing porgs at you until you're done paying Star Wars money, which is never. So. Welcome, porgs.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
I, for one, welcome our new porg overlords.
Well, the entire reason they're throwing porgs at people now is because, like, I guarantee you they released the porg as a method for, as, like, a method of crowd testing. Like, we're just going to show this porg in here doing this real cute thing.
Yeah.
And it turns out that they're going to be terrible literal shitbirds. And... However, they're going to get everybody to buy all this merch for them.
Yeah. No, it's gonna happen. Like, I know many people, a couple of which are in the Mercs, that have just ever since the Star Wars Day merch came out, the Force Friday merch, they've just been on a porg hunt wherever they can be found. Because, well, and there's like 16 different porg plush out right now, something like that. I like them. I'll be the first one to admit, I think they're cute, and I can't wait to see what they do with them, because I imagine they'll just be everywhere, all the time, doing all the things, and,
Forever,
and we're never going to be rid of them.
The real question is, like, how are they going to explain a sudden promiscuity of porgs in, the subsequent movies, because they apparently come off of Luke's little tiny island.
Well, they do show that they end up on the Falcon,
and Porg ends up on the Falcon,
and Porg, But like someone put out that they're basically the new Gizka, also from KOTOR, which was faithfully yanked from Star Trek. Like they're gonna be tribbles is a pretty solid theory. You get one on a ship, you're gonna have 100. Just saying.
I mean, and realistically, they don't have that planned out yet. Unlike George Lucas, these guys are not really just lying to us and telling us that they have everything planned from the start.
No, they've everybody has pretty much admitted right away that they are making things up as they go, which is fine. I'd much rather that they admit that they're making things up as they go, and instead of saying, no, we worked for years on this.
This is my true vision.
Yeah, no, no.
Oh, and this completely different version is also my true vision.
We love you, George. You've been good to us.
It's been something. Yes, he has. Also, you should probably let Access know he can come back.
Yeah, we should probably let him back in. Let him back inside. Now we've talked about porgs. Everybody knows that porgs are happening.
Whoa! Spoilers. Porgs. What?
Turns out there are going to be porgs in the movie. Did you know?
Son of a porg.
I mean, maybe. Maybe that's what's going on.
that is in fact The Last Jedi.
So despite not having heard any of what those two were just talking about and being excited about the trailer, I'm still super stoked for the movie. So, did you guys get your opening night tickets? Because tickets went on sale.
Mine are actually the night after.
I have arrangements in place.
I got Thursday opening night.
Yeah, mine are Friday.
The double feature, so it's actually going to be Force Awakens and then straight into Last Jedi.
Nice.
Yeah, I actually considered doing the like $80 thing that my theater's doing, which is a full day, and it is literally all of Star Wars.
They're doing all of them?
Yep. Literally all of them.
Like 16 hours for that?
Nice.
Correct. I told you it was a full day.
I mean, if that's
more than
case,
just a day.
$80 is not...
That's a solid price.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's $80 for, literally for a full day of Star Wars, because it's like, they're showing all the movies just back to back.
What's that?
$80 for 16 hours, that's $5 an hour, that's
good.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the food situation like at that?
You concessions.
Okay. Well,
you will either starve or cave and spend a lot of money.
Some of the
well, realistically, it's also a wristband kind of thing. So like, you can
skip out on episode 3.
I would watch episode 3. I would skip out on episodes 1 and 2, which is probably what everybody else is going to do too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, conceivably, if they're going to play all of them, they're going to have to start that business early. So yeah, those first couple screenings are going to be pretty bare. Man,
what's up next?
What's up next? There really is not much up next. Have either of you played the Battlefront beta yet?
Oh, okay. So I guess now is the part where I talk about the beta, and whereas you guys talked about the trailer. Hey, that works out. Happy coincidence
of balance. We're not lamby-pamby and afraid of spoilers for the video.
Fair enough. the Battlefront 2 beta, for those that didn't play. The only thing that I kind of noticed being a little funky is on the modes, at least, that we're allowed to play on the beta, you got to play as the heroes, but the heroes were from you could have Boba Fett on Theed, or in Theed on Naboo, and you had Phase 2 clone troopers fighting battle droids. So I think they've gotten a little creative with the clone trooper designs versus the battle droid designs, just and the setting, just so that way they'd have a little more to work with.
We also now have more material to work with.
The other thing too is that the weapon unlock system would be you've unlocked the heavy repeater for the First Order troops, so that heavy assault First Order trooper, whatever the name is, where he's got that whole ammo gun belt pouch thing going on, that heavy chest rig.
Yeah, the super gunner. Yeah.
Yeah, the big repeating blaster that he's got. I'm totally spacing on the technical name, but I should know it.
Troops?
For the First Order ones, yeah.
Oh, I have no idea what the First Order ones are.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there in front of you when you select it, but you just kind of gloss over and look at the imagery. You don't really read the names of the blasters all the time. You can have that as like a battle droid. So there's some kind of funky time phase shifting stuff going on.
Well, I mean, and also don't they have like Darth Maul in the wrong era, that sort of thing?
They've got Darth Maul on the Naboo Palace where you got Phase 2 clone troopers. Yeah. So,
technically speaking, it makes sense.
No, it doesn't. He doesn't have cyborg legs. He's got his real lower half.
Yeah, but if you look at him when he's on Mandalore, he looks like he's wearing boots.
Yeah, he got different.
Okay, I'll
legs.
Give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
He stopped having the digitigrade legs when they got all chopped up and they were like, "Ooh,
but you got full-size adult Boba Fett running around in the wrong era."
Whatever, it's Jango Fett.
It's Boba Fett.
It's Jango now.
No, it's Jango. Jango's wearing Boba's armor.
Only Jango
sure,
now.
For sure. Anyways, other than that, it's certainly a fun game. Very much, you don't get to touch any of the campaign. It was strictly multiplayer. Space battles were definitely fun. Interestingly, you could play as hero ships once you amassed enough points. So if you play well, you get points. You can play as the hero ships. If you don't play that well, or people are, you know, there's some really skilled players in there, you may not get the points in time before the game ends. You may get the points, but someone else might already be playing as one of those hero ships because you're only allowed one per battle. So you can only have one Millennium Falcon flying around, only one of Boba Fett's Slave One flying around, that kind of stuff. When they die, you can totally try and grab it, but you also have to be spawning back in at the right time. So there's that may change after the beta's finished and the game has actually released. But all in all, it's a really fun game. Graphics are fantastic. I certainly had a lot of fun. Here's the other news. Battlefront 2's servers are back online.
Like the old Battlefront 2?
Yeah, the original Battlefront 2.
Nice.
So I also, once the beta wrapped up for Battlefront 2, I went back and played Battlefront 2.
Yeah, I do wish that they had not done that. Like,
but my lord, there's two of them.
Like, I understand that they, that when they rebooted the series, they could literally call them anything they wanted. But I do wish that they had gone with, like, Battlefront 3. Well, yeah, but, like, and I know that video
That's
game
true.
Franchises nowadays, if you hit three games, that's it for your numbering. Afterwards, you have to do different numbers.
Like, you go Call of Duty, Call of Duty 2, Call of Duty 3, Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty World at War, Call of Duty Black Ops, Modern Warfare 2, Call of Duty
tops,
Modern Warfare Black Ops, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Black Ops 2. Like,
yeah.
And then now they're back to the World War.
Yeah, now they're back to
World War. And then they did Call of Duty and then Battlefront 0 whatever.
It went to Battlefront 1. Because
not Battlefront 1, Battlefield 0.
Battlefield 1. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that one. That's the one we're talking about.
Which is confusing because you had the game Battlefield.
Right. Like, I'll give them credit for actually doing a World War 1 game because there really hasn't been a World War 1 shooter in a very long time.
Yeah.
There were
it is about time too, to come back. There's a lot less automatic weapons fire, so it's a little more judicious.
Yeah. Well, and I do like that they are starting to actually rotate back on Call of Duty games towards World War II again, because it's been an entire console generation between...
I was going to say, what was the Call of... I think Eric missed...
World at War
future...
was the last World War II game.
Yeah, no, what was the Call of Duty, like, future jump pack crazy tech stuff?
Advanced Warfare.
Ones.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure when those came
Kevin
in on
Spacey.
The whole
game. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's the current ones. It's Blops.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it Blops?
Yeah. Okay. I never Blops. Played Black Ops 3 because it had nothing to do with Black Ops 1 or 2.
Yeah, I didn't realize Blops 3 was actually the super future tech. I thought it was something else called that. So.
Yeah, it's because they keep setting them in like the 70s and then giving you like rail rifles and exo armor and jump packs. Oh, yeah. It's set in modern times and we have quote-unquote drones and it's like freaking Iron Man armor.
Yeah.
We can barely build robots that walk, and these things have, like, I don't know, they're friggin' Starscream. Like...
Black Ops 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, pretty much. Except even crazier.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm done complaining about modern troopers.
Alright, so yeah.
Except Destiny 2. I'm gonna complain about that some more.
So now that we've actually started talking about World War II video games, I guess we've run out of Star Wars news.
It's mildly relevant because I bet you Modern Warfare, World War, whatever games are going to bring back, you know, your classic original base weaponry that the Star Wars guns are all based off of, like your C-96 Mauser and whatnot, your Threes gun for the E-11, all that fun stuff. Slightly related?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. I am always glad anytime they release a new like World War themed game, because that's when they start remaking the airsoft replicas in metal. So this is actually relevant to Mando's. Guys, if you want decent metal airsoft replicas, now's the time.
You have to be careful with a lot of cons, though. They don't like airsoft weapons or airsoft replicas.
If they know it's an airsoft weapon, they may not like it.
But the Mercs Club also has rules where you can't have something that's capable of firing any sort of projectiles. So if you're going to get something like that, you need to do a lot of...
Well, you have to gut it. You have to gut it, but that's not...
Yeah, we're buying it for the basically the body.
Yeah.
And then doing a bunch of other weird crap to it.
And for the record, kids, if you want to, if it's an electric gun, you pull out the spring. If it's a spring gun, you pull out the spring.
And if it's gas?
If it's gas, you don't put gas in it or remove your barrel. I mean, there's like 101 different things you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But kids, just make it so it doesn't work. If it does work, well, then
that's on you.
Ensure that it's sufficiently modified that if con security is having questions asked about it, that you're not, it's not going to be like one piece away from being totally functional.
Yes, and also mount your scopes backwards, guys.
Yeah, always
believe
backwards.
It or not, cops do actually look at that, and also it's a Star Wars thing for them to be mounted backwards.
Yeah.
So
have three scopes, have them in the wrong place, have them under the gun, like the clone rifles. That hand grip they're using is a scope mounted backwards.
That one was always very silly looking to me.
I loved it. And I mean, it makes sort of sense in the Star Wars-y thing where all the sights are supposed to be wired into your helmet anyway. So it's, you know,
yep.
It's still...
They've got one above and below and Ooh. Way, way back on the gun.
Also in Star Wars news, Luke Skywalker's land speeder for kids that can support weight up to 130 pounds is now in stores. A friend of mine just posted on Facebook about
is it like
I need to get in shape.
How far off are you? How many?
30 pounds over.
Ooh, I bet you could make it do it.
I used to be 130, like not in my teenage years, so I mean it could happen.
I forget how small you guys are.
Well, I'm not, yeah. I'm still I'm short.
Yeah, I was about to say, as somebody who is 6'3", I have never weighed 130 pounds.
All it says is age is 4+, so you're fine.
Yeah, no,
it's one or two riders. So,
that being said, like I can still like the new Power Wheels that they've put out since I was a child. Those will bear the weight of an adult at a slow speed. So
they're a very small adult.
There's still time. Hey, I can sort of fit.
Ian, I'm right there with you. It's not like I'm poking fun at you. I'm poking fun with you.
That's what they all say.
I totally want to. No, I'll totally get one and ride around in one at some point too. Somewhere, I think there's footage of me riding an oversized tricycle in Mando armor.
I mean, isn't there a thing of you riding a motorcycle in Mando armor? Pretty sure that's a thing.
I have photos of me with the bike. I don't think I actually. I didn't ride in armor on the bike. Mm. That'd be a little irresponsible.
I've seen a person in full Predator gear riding a motorcycle, so
doesn't mean it's not irresponsible.
Well, they were riding a bike that was made to look like a Predator, so.
Well, it depends if it's a parade setting or if it's actually street riding.
Oh, well, they were doing it on the highway, so.
So the bike.
That's not gonna be a fun time if they have.
Nah. Well, it was a desert highway.
At Gat, anyways.
Yeah.
Moving on. I think we got
so
some
don't
Facebook
do that,
questions.
Kids.
Don't do that. It's bad.
Yeah, we got
and
some
if you
Facebook
do
questions.
That, nope. At least take some pictures so that when you die, you'll be remembered.
And third time's the charm. Yeah, we got some Facebook questions. Now Eric's not talking on top of me.
That was only second. But yeah, no, we do have a literal couple of Facebook questions, albeit one of them was more of a question directed towards Misha, but I think we can probably muddle our way through it. That question, we'll sort of skip the order, was Rebecca asked us, how do you clean a glitter-filled drain?
A drain specifically?
Yeah, a drain, like, you know, a sink drain, shower drain, you know, after you've removed glitter from your body.
Well, that depends. If the glitter has clogged the drain, pretty much you're going to be stuck using something that will melt plastic. So something like basically like a liquid pipe cleaner.
Yeah, like any liquid plumber, Drano, something along those lines. You might have to snake it, maybe.
Yeah. Probably not, though. You're probably just going to use a liquid pipe cleaner on it. But if you're just trying to get, like, glitter that is too big to go down your drain, tape.
Yeah.
My discovery has been that despite glitter being the herpes of the craft world, it is actually remarkably weak to tape, not unlike cat hair. So all you really have to do is just make sure that you applied a sufficient quantity of tape to your surface, and you will pull everything up.
When we say surface, we do not mean body. Do not try and remove glitter from your skin with tape. That's,
I mean, you actually can.
You can. It's ill-advised.
Yeah, well, it depends on how hairy you are, I guess.
Well, I'm going, if I'm the barometer, then no. No.
Fair. and I'm not talking, like, sticking tape directly to the surface, getting a super good contact or whatever. I'm talking about, like, you take tape, you run it around your hand, reverse, and then you just sort of pad the surface, and it will come up. So you're not going to hate yourself too much.
So the poor man's lint roller.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And we're Mando, so we're all poor, and we all have tape.
It's true. I do have tape.
Those conventions are really expensive.
And the other question we had, and this actually does relate to our earlier discussion about the Obi-Wan movie. Jason asks us, would we actually want a Boba Fett movie? And Jason's angle on this is because a big part of his appeal and his legend is exactly that he's legendary and mythical and, you know, man with no name sort of a character. Would we want a movie that would clear up any of that mystique?
No, I would want a movie of him bounty hunting.
Yeah.
Now like, that, it's, yeah. Seriously, just give us effectively an Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
Where Eastwood has been replaced by Boba Fett and rather racial caricatures of Southern Western Americans replaced with aliens, and give us some blasters instead of six shooters, and we're good to go. That's all we need.
Yep, that's true. Because I mean, history.
They give us a background story for one half portion guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I've always said, like a Boba Fett heist movie, same sort of thing. Like the one of my favorite episodes of the Clone Wars was the train episode where there was just a bunch of bounty hunters, including young Boba, preventing a train robbery as opposed to actually perpetrating one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah, it's a literal hover train full of bounty hunters just being awesome. Like, yes, I'm here for that all day.
Yep. No, I could watch that several times.
I think I still fall into the more wanting it than not wanting it, but I do get where Jason's coming from. I had listened to that excerpt from the what was that novel where they put together a whole bunch of short stories about the various characters in Star Wars.
Oh,
I'm so you're totally about you?
I'm totally blanking.
Cantina, Tales from the Bounty Hunters, all that stuff.
That's the one that just came out recently.
The one that came out recent, or are you talking about the older one?
The recent one.
Yeah, that's from a certain point of view.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know how I blanked on that. I have a friend that actually wrote one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Not that person's story, but someone wrote the Boba Fett one. Perhaps it's just the excerpt, but there was a little audio excerpt that you could listen to hear a small portion of the Boba Fett story. And did not portray him in the sort of way that I would have thought or hoped for. It made Boba Fett sound very cocky and arrogant, which doesn't fit the Boba Fett that I think most of us know and enjoy. So that's always kind of a I totally get where Jason's coming from with the concern of that perhaps, you know, if we peel back the curtain, we may not it may not be what we were expecting to find.
I forget who the interview was with, but yeah, he was always sort of, Boba Fett was always sort of envisioned as an Eastwoody character.
He is literally supposed to be the man with no name from the Eastwood films.
So it would be nice to, I mean, we all want to see him on screen flying around shooting people being a bounty hunter. But yeah, like I would still want his dialogue to be 30 lines or less for an hour and a half movie.
Yeah, well, I imagine the best way to treat him would be to have him in the film, but he's not the face character in the film. So I don't know if you guys have seen Killing Gunther,
No.
It's a new comedy that came out with one of my favorite actors. That being Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course.
Well, sure.
However, basically, he's actually, like, he is the entire subject of the film and shows up periodically throughout the film, kind of like Get Shorty. But he is not a major face character in the film until about 20 minutes from the end of the film.
Yeah, I would deal with that.
I feel like that would be a preferable way to deal with him, because you have Boba Fett coming in as this character who's supposed to be this legend, and it's really a lot better for us to have that and have him be super cool and sort of mysterious and show up right at the very end, not unlike Darth Vader in Rogue One, than it would be to have Ocean's 11 with Boba Fett as George Clooney.
Yeah, no, I'd like
it. I get where you're going with that. Yeah.
I'd take either of those for sure.
So that would be my preference, where we have Boba Fett is not the main character, but he is the motivator of the story.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he'd run it as a horror film.
Yeah, no, that would be... I don't know how that would...
Boba Fett is Jason Voorhees.
Well, no, I mean, is it really a horror movie, or is it just like a Rambo sort of situation? All guns blazing kind of deal?
Well, no, but that's the idea, is that it's not from this perspective. It's from the perspective of the people who are being bounty hunted.
Okay, no, I see where you're going with that. Yeah, no, I would take that. Like, actually treat him similar to what you were saying with have him not really present. Like, yeah, actually treat him like the movie monster.
Yeah, he's Jason Voorhees. Yeah. He literally just shows up out of nowhere. Rocket pack, it just wrist rockets flying everywhere all of a sudden, you know. And you've got the people who are sitting there scared. What do we do? What do we do? Oh, my God. That sort of thing.
Just show him off in little glimpses and... You know, yeah. From behind corners, or you see that shadow, see just the jetpack shadow coming around a corner. Yeah. No, I would watch that. Like,
yep.
I would watch that all the time.
Yeah. Or you could actually treat it a little bit more like Saw, but a little less gruesome, where it's a bunch of people trying to kill Boba Fett. Bounty Hunter has a bounty that's to be collected on him, you know? And it's like 12 bounty hunters are all going to go after Boba Fett, and they have to storm, you know, wherever he's at.
And somehow Boba has a small fortress that's just full of traps.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Slave One has to live somewhere. Marshadon, man.
No, that's fair. That's I would also watch that film.
Yep. I feel like that actually might be the better treatment for Boba Fett. Is that where Boba Fett is just straight up your mystery murderer?
Yeah, no, that's
certainly be interesting.
Yeah, no, these are actually
Lucasfilm. Hear me.
You have actually like given me like several valid, good, well thought out ideas.
I don't know if they're well thought out, but decent spitballs. Point is, I feel like there's a lot of ways that you could treat Boba Fett where he does not have to be where you can both maintain his mystique. Give fans what they want because they get more Boba Fett screen time. You avoid kitschy one-liners and crap coming from a character who is known for not delivering kitschy one-liners. It's like giving one-liners to the Punisher.
Which, I mean, that's coming out soon, too.
Yes, though I guarantee you from having seen Daredevil, he will not be having one-liners.
No, that's not what we want.
That was what we got in the original Punisher movie with... What's his face? Scientology.
John Travolta.
That one. I knew what I meant.
Yeah, we need... But yeah, like, I think my main concern and my main hope would be, like, I was sort of joking, but now that I've been thinking about it, I think as long as any of those movies would work fine, as long as Boba Fett does not have, you know, lines, basically. Like, not even, like, avoiding one-liners, just been like, no, full-on Empire level of dialogue. Like, keep that ratio of screen time.
If it's a horror movie, he can't talk.
Yeah,
like, because, unfortunately, Boba Fett is not Freddy Krueger. And by unfortunately, I mean thankfully.
Yeah.
Again, more Jason Voorhees than Chucky. More Michael Myers than Freddy.
Yeah.
Plus, you also get that scene where somebody, like, shoots him with a blaster a couple times and it just bounces off the Mando armor.
Yeah, we could actually, because we never do see because Boba Fett has a thing called ducking and taking cover. You never actually do see him get shot, ever.
Yeah, he just gets hit in the back with a pipe once. Yeah. You know what? He gets punched a couple times in Clone
Series. Yeah, he gets punched and he gets knocked around, but you never actually see him get shot. Again, because he actually, unlike every stormtrooper in the series, puts himself in a position where he won't be shot.
Well, you see, that's because clone troopers are better than stormtroopers. According to the clone troopers, anyway.
Which, I will say, that was, like, I love that they did end up taking that attitude with Old Man Rex. Just be like, you know, like...
need a better quality of trooper.
Yeah, it's like quality over quantity. Come on, guys. Like, no.
Yeah, you know, that is actually something that I don't know if people have really thought that much about, is that the entire methodology for how the Empire was fighting wars changed. Because, originally they were on the quality side versus quantity, whereas the droid armies were very obviously the opposite metric.
Now, they have made some little mentions of it here and there in the... In the lore, in the universe, like in episode 7, Vader fanboy Kylo Ren's like, yeah, no, maybe we should just switch back to clones. They were pretty sweet.
That's fair. Though, don't they also say that the clones are there's only like a million of them or something?
I think they only topped out over like less than 2 million clones for sure. Which for a galaxy of trillions is not that big.
But in any given battle, you could lose 2 million battle droids.
And they have made some mention, like in the Tarkin book, it's revealed that some of the 501st, like in the old canon, a good chunk of the 501st is still actually clone troopers, and Vader seems to have a special little soft spot in his heart for his stormtroopers, as opposed to basically anybody else.
Yeah. Well, it's because they were his... I feel like that's actually them hearkening back to the fact that Anakin is not quite all dead.
Oh, yeah, no, that's exactly what they're doing. And it's good. It is a good thing to do.
Yeah,
I really enjoy those little extra touches of character there.
They almost always seem to add. They very, very rarely seem to detract.
Yeah. Well, and fortunately, there's actually room to do that with Darth Vader, whereas you don't have room with that for Boba Fett. Because again, Boba Fett's entire purpose is that he says nothing and is, look at my mystery. I'm so mysterious. Look at how mysterious I am. But unfortunately, that leaves you in a certain bind for what you can and cannot do. I still say it should be Jason, though.
Yeah, no, you would like having him be just this, yeah, just... the unstoppable force is really appealing.
It doesn't even have to be like the unstoppable force Jason thing, but again, like maybe make it a little bit more Jigsaw. Coming after him, there's two of you. One of you falls into a pit trap full of not Vorskners, Nexu, and the other one gets his hand blown off by a shotgun trap, at which point Boba Fett shows up, doesn't say anything, and just shoots you in the head. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. Basically, like, go ahead, just remake Predator, get Arnold back.
But the Predator wins.
Yeah, but the Predator wins, and the Predator is Boba Fett.
That, or you could run it a little bit like Dragon Age.
Run it like what?
Dragon Age 2.
You know,
where Dragon Age 2 is actually entirely told by an unreliable narrator.
I've played a lot of Inquisition, and I played a little bit of Origins, but I haven't gotten around to playing 2
yet. Well, if you remember running into Varric in Inquisition.
Oh, yeah.
He is the unreliable narrator of Dragon Age 2.
I do love me some Varric.
Yeah, he's being inquisited at the beginning of the game, and so periodically you'll run into parts of the game where he then is intentionally lying to the Inquisitors. Most notably, one time where your party like gets ambushed in a building, at which point the narrative completely changes and it's just Varric soloing everything with one shot, despite him not necessarily having been in the party at the time.
Yeah, I gotta get on that.
Yeah, so theoretically you could have an unreliable narrator thing going on. You know, that's another character you could use. You could use Bossk.
No.
Yeah. Oh, we split vote there.
No, I meant like you would use Bossk as your narrator.
Oh, but well, I mean, he would be a good unreliable narrator for sure.
That's what I was saying yes to.
Okay, yeah. No, with as Bossk as an unreliable narrator, yes.
Like, I felt like he would be a good choice because the way they've presented him now in Clone Wars, he does actually have an emotional attachment to Baby Boba, and as a result, he could very easily be telling a story. And you know what the funny thing is? It doesn't even have to be about young Boba Fett. It could be about old man Boba, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, if we really wanted to. So they use that film to be like, oh, look, there's this really, really rich bounty hunter. He claimed the biggest bounties ever. He lives here? Yeah, I heard he was crippled, though, after he got, you know, puked up by the Sarlacc. He blew his own arm off, you know, that kind of thing.
And it's just Boba in an easy chair.
Yeah, and it's a bunch of thugs trying to break into his house and steal his stuff, and Boba Fett proceeds to kill them all. Because he's Boba Fett. You see? Lucasfilm? I'm just writing these movies for you.
The Lobby Talk Radio will take 10%.
I mean, yeah, but...
Honestly, I would be okay with taking no percent and just having my idea as an actual Star Wars film, let's be real.
There's that, too.
I'd be pretty okay with that. What about you? Somebody else come up with some ideas.
No, I came up with the Predator Boba.
That's true. All right, Thaxus, it's on you.
Boba Fett actually being Mandalorian, uniting Mandalorians, and having all the mercs being in the movie. Boom.
Okay, but how are we going to do that with the dialogue?
Grayscale, Charlie Chaplin-esque. Just put music over everything.
I don't know if that would really execute well.
I don't think that's necessarily.
I mean,
come on, and then you cut to captions whenever people are trying to speak. Yeah, no.
I don't know. Anyway,
want to see that as a parody film, though.
The point is, there are good ways to make a good Boba Fett film that involves no Boba Fett talking whatsoever.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Just make Boba Fett use sign language.
No, I draw the line.
Though, actually. Technically speaking, that is an interesting plot mechanic. If you wanted to avoid using Boba Fett's voice, you have a character who becomes deafened in the course of the film. And it is somebody like Boba Fett gets sent on an escort mission or whatever. And this person gets deafened. And so he has to communicate with this person.
And you could totally use the silence to build suspense.
Well, actually, that does make me like of all the shows that pulled this trick off, BoJack Horseman, not an all ages show, so I'll be brief on the podcast on that.
If you are an adult, watch it; it's great. Well, if you're a child, turn 18 and watch it; it's great.
There is an episode where BoJack is invited to an awards ceremony that takes place in their world's equivalent of France, which is basically underwater. It's like the Pacific Ocean is France in the BoJack world. And as a result, BoJack, because he's underwater and he can't speak to anybody because he's just wearing scuba gear the entire episode, everybody speaks some weird language anyway. So he doesn't speak the language, nor can he speak physically. So they do an entire episode where BoJack has no dialogue, and almost none of the characters actually have any discernible dialogue either. And there's no subtitles and no anything, so it's all just conveyed by the actions over, you know, a half-hour animated sitcom.
It's similar to the Raptor episode of Archer.
The Raptor episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the Raptor episode.
The Raptor episode was where they... It was released with the first DVD, and they just took the entire first episode of Archer and replaced Archer with a Velociraptor.
Oh, I never
saw that one. Now I'm gonna need to go watch
now
that.
I gotta go buy the Archer DVDs. same sort of thing.
He sits there and roars.
Interesting.
I think they had like 12 unique raptor sounds, so it gets a little grating after a while. But it is also amusing. So.
But I think with the Disney Lucasfilm budget and the Disney Lucasfilm writers, I think they could actually like pull something like that off. I mean, there's a movie where the vast majority of it, regardless of the plot, has next to no dialogue.
I dig it. whatever they come up with, I think we'll, if they do it, I think we'll be impressed. I don't see them dropping the ball on that one.
No, and every single one of these movies that comes out, there seems to be more and more people that are like, oh, I'll never watch Star Wars again. Oh, no, this is never... And then it breaks another box office record. So clearly that's not working.
I hate it. It's terrible. I don't like it one bit.
I think we've officially petered out, gentlemen.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything.
So... with that, thank you for listening to this month's edition of Geldabi Talk Radio. On behalf
of... Where we randomly yammer at you.
Yeah. It's, we have few skills. Building armor and yammering are basically top of the list for me. I don't know about you guys, but yeah. So yeah, on behalf of myself, Frost, and Thexos, listen in next time.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club. To learn more about the topics discussed on this episode, please visit us at www.mandalorianmercs.org. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated media are intellectual property of Lucasfilm and Disney. We hope you enjoyed the show and welcome your feedback. Visit our Facebook page or email us at podcast@mandalorianmercs.com.